Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Excellent, guys. Welcome to the show. Before we start, a couple stand-up dates. July 26th through the 28th, I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv with Jay Moore. Tickets are at www.irvineimprov.com. I'm here with Alan Lee, the trusty sidekick.
As trusty as you can get.
Yeah, and Alan Lee, as usual, is freaking out our great guest tonight, Ron Funches.
The one and only.
The one and only. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing good. You guys, it's hard to freak me out.
You're like the sweetest guy.
I've been in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That elevator didn't freak you out?
No.
It freaked me out when those two
Spokane,
guys.
Spokane, Washington? That's a place that'll freak you out.
Oh, what's in there?
A lot of methamphetamine.
So is a Greyhound bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they got a lot of those there, too.
Boy, that meth, you know, I don't mean to say that I'm ignorant of what goes on, but I was opened up by the series Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
and that educated me, you know, in entertainment, of the meth situation.
Yeah, and that you could have, like, a robotic machine gun.
Oh, that's right.
Just a lot of meth going out of chicken restaurants.
That's right. There you go.
That's crazy.
Tip of the iceberg.
That's how you do it. I like how we're talking about a great show that ended 10 years ago.
It's such a good show,
a
though. I don't know if I've been hooked by anything since.
I turned him onto it.
So good.
So he didn't even watch it, and I had to, like, really twist his arm.
I don't even enjoy dramas. And I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
I
you, I got hooked on that.
Me too.
What shows do you watch on Netflix?
Oh, yeah, anyway, yeah, sure.
I mean, I mostly just watch random comedies. I watch mm-hmm. a lot of cartoons. Mostly been watching the Rugrats on Hulu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They got
yeah.
the full series.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And that's enjoyable.
Do you watch Stranger Things?
No, I watched the first season.
When you were
I don't really watch many things. I watch a lot of pro wrestling, and I watch a lot of cartoons.
No way!
And that's about it.
You watch pro wrestling?
Yeah.
I became a pro wrestling freak because my writer friend converted me to it. I didn't understand all the nuances of the
so
narratives.
Many.
And all. Well, like Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, Christian Cage.
Mm.
I went back, you know, and Edge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a complete Edge freak, and then I got the DVDs about his life and the whole. I didn't realize how many people that guy tangled with.
Yeah, he's a
dear
Edge
God.
Is crazy, and now he's a pretty good actor. As
oh
well.
Yeah, he's going to acting, mm-hmm. and you know who Edge is, right?
No. I don't
watch.
I don't watch.
Come on, bro.
To be honest, I only know who one wrestler is, and that's Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, I don't even know
wow,
if he's good.
You're just
I
a
just
fan
know.
Of him through racism. You
know yeah. Just one moment. just one moment, Keith. There was a wrestler that was a guest on Razor Riff by the name of Snake.
Jake the Snake.
Oh yeah, he hated me.
Why did he hate you?
Snake Roberts.
Okay,
you know who it is, right?
You want to hear? Here's the story.
He's a total fan.
We had a producer who was booking guests, and she actually quit because of this. And she'd send me notes on like what the guest doesn't want to ask or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have, as I told you earlier, I have Asperger's, so like I kind of just glimp what I want to glimp. I don't mm-hmm. really want to read any long email, like it just gives me anxiety. So I didn't read the notes, and one of the notes said, "Don't talk about his dad."
Yeah, he doesn't like that. I know that.
So, like, we're all interviewing. I was like, and I knew his dad was a wrestler. So I talked about his dad, and he just, like, I was like, okay, maybe I should just leave. He's like, yeah. And then him and Alan finished.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It wasn't that bad, but, like, it got weird, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't his dad. Yeah, got dad issues. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who parent doesn't? Issues. Parent issues.
I have dad issues.
Yeah.
I don't think your son's ever going to have dad issues, though.
He might.
I don't know, because you're taking care of him.
I am taking care of him, but you know how kids are.
Yeah. And
no matter what, there's always things you could do better. There's things I wish I could have done better, you know? But hopefully you're right.
Yeah,
he likes me right now, and that's good.
But if he has mom issues, who cares?
Yeah, I don't care about that. those are valid.
Those are good issues. But what's it like? being a dad, because, you know, usually dads aren't the ones who step up, you know what I mean? It's usually the moms who are, you know, mm-hmm. so, like, you stepped up and you're taking care of, and he's also autistic as well.
Yeah.
So, like, how's that, and you're a comic, and, you know, you, like...
I mean, it's just a lot of effort, really.
A lot of effort.
A lot of effort. That's it, really. You know, it's not terribly hard. The best thing about it for me was that I found out pretty early that I was pretty good at it. I like being a dad, and I like the responsibility it gives me. I like the drive that it gives me, and I like the focus it gives me. Because usually when I was alone doing my own thing, especially being a single dad, I just like end up at bars doing things, and then it just was like, oh, when I have my son with me, it gives me a lot more reasons to say no. And I like that. And so it's just sometimes, you know, a little lonely, but a lot of effort. But it's the most rewarding thing that I have. And I think it gives me balance. It gives me more things to talk about in my comedy.
Yeah.
I think it helps make my comedy a little more unique. And mm-hmm. so there's no negative to it. I like, you know, I mean, he needs me, and I'm there for him.
That's great.
And how old is your son right now?
He's 16.
That's a good age.
Boy.
Yeah.
So that's
wow,
the
16.
That's the age where like he could like do fun stuff, like go to strip clubs and stuff.
Yeah, we're just planning lots of things, but mostly we set off a lot of fireworks together.
Oh, nice.
You know, we have a lot of video games. We go retro
video,
game shopping
video
every
games,
Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, retro.
The little swap
retro.
Meets and stuff.
Retro.
Yeah.
Is he sensitive to the firework sounds?
He was when he was younger. The older he gets, a little more he's able to deal with it. He used to get like seizures
people don't understand like how. Because, like, I do stand-up, and I talk about my autism, and, like, when people are heckling, mm-hmm. I, like, get, like, dizzy, and, you know, it's like, I'd rather you don't heckle, and that, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather
bomb.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather bomb than deal with hecklers. That's what I'm saying.
I agree. Asperger's, autism, or not. Either way.
Yeah.
But since to my son, he likes to wear, like, little Peltor earmuffs. You know, keeps he can't he doesn't like loud events.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He can handle certain things that he wants to go to, like little conventions. But if we go to like movie theater or something, mm-hmm. he likes to bring his little headphones.
Does he ever go with you when you do stand up?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes in the summer. Not much this summer because I put him in summer school, which is fun. I try to be a fun and responsible dad.
Yeah.
So I put him in summer school, but I didn't tell him until the day before. He was like, this is fun. It's a surprise.
It's like, because we know you like surprises.
Yeah, who doesn't like surprises? Yeah. The secret, the truth is I have forgotten.
It's hard to be perfect all the time.
Yeah, I do a lot of traveling. And then my mom reminded me, and she was like, you enrolled him in summer school. It starts tomorrow. You should probably let him know.
Oh, man. But it's weird because, like, summer school, when I went, like, I was always assumed that it was when you got bad grades, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then I found out when I was older, just because my family didn't want me in the house.
Yeah, well, I just kind of like, look, I'm working.
I can't leave you with the butter knives.
Yeah, you got to work, too. Go back to work. The quicker you learn that you usually don't get summers off, the better, you know? And plus, he's just kind of, he likes school. He likes rules. He likes structure. So I think it's just good to keep it to him because it's only a few hours a day.
Yeah. School is fun because, like, I always knew I was different in school because growing up, kids would make paper airplanes and I would make paper airports.
It's real fun.
It takes a lot of talent to make a paper airplane.
Yeah. You got a lot of structural, you got a lot of pillars.
So you were telling me that you were taking an acting class. Are you like preparing for like a big acting role?
No, I'm just always preparing, really. Yeah. You know, I'm preparing for opportunities. So I just stay in class. I like going to class. As soon as I moved out to LA, I pretty much 6 months after I moved out here, I was enrolled in class. And I just try to stay active because, you know, you never know. You never know when an opportunity will come up. And it's just. And I want to continue to prove to people, like, if they're like, oh, he can only do certain things, I want to be ready to prove them wrong.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's a good What was that? Was that an earthquake?
No, that was me moving it with my
head. I was like, we've been getting a lot of those earthquakes.
Yeah. That one was precise.
Oh, man. That earthquake freaked me out because I was at work and, like, I work at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And, like, it, you know, the really big one that happened, like, last mm-hmm. week? Like, three wine bottles broke and pissed me off. I had to clean that up.
No.
Oh, man.
That sucks that the earthquake made more work for you.
I know, right? Like, that's like God punishing me.
Yeah, so rude.
Yeah, stop so tweeting.
Yeah, I was on stage when it happened, and I just was like, this is fun. At some point, I was like, oh, yeah, you should probably have left because there were lights above your head. But I just stayed there and wrote it out.
Yeah. It was the first time you've ever done a set on an earthquake?
Yeah. Definitely. So, hopefully the last.
So it freaked you out?
It didn't freak me out, but like, let's move on to new things. Tornadoes, lava.
That would be crazy if there's tornadoes in California.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it'd be real dusty.
I saw this movie called Twister when I was like 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. With the cow.
Yeah.
The cow flying up there.
Starring that cow.
Oh, yeah. That was a big thought,
I don't want to be that cow.
No.
Especially at a comedy club. Yeah, you're telling jokes and boo.
Yeah. No, that's a hard act to follow.
Yeah. If this was a live video podcast, that joke would have landed better.
Yeah.
Because I did the...
Because of the hand motion?
Yeah, that was
well,
a hand motion.
I don't know.
But I saw you in this is actually one of my favorite comedy movies, and I don't like a lot of comedy movies. I like romantic movies.
Ooh, what's your favorite movie?
What's your favorite one?
Romantic movie?
Yeah.
Anything that has John Cusack in it.
Oh.
Yeah. I like to say I'm the John Cusack of stand-up because I just say anything.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. Say anything your favorite.
Yeah, because nice. He doesn't say anything.
My favorite movie is When Harry Met Sally.
Oh really? You mean we're talking about romantic?
Just all the way around.
Oh, wonderful.
I think it's just a perfect movie. It's
Billy well Crystal.
Yeah.
You know, a recent one, I'm sure you Sideways.
Mm. Yeah, Sideways.
I thought that was the cutest thing.
Yeah, it's very
it
cute.
It moved well in the dialogue and the jokes. Did you see Sideways?
Yeah, and I also saw this movie called Get Hard.
Okay.
Which you were
nice.
In.
Nice segue back. Yeah. Wow.
That's not bad.
Well done.
There, yeah.
And that's one of the funniest movies. So what was it like working with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell?
Oh, it was really, really fun for me. Very exciting. Wow, you know, it was... and with T.I. as well, who's a very scary person and always serious. Yeah. And so it was just really interesting. And I grew up just a huge fan of Will Ferrell in particular, mm-hmm. but with Kevin Hart as well. And just, you know, anytime in between takes where I could, like, I crack some jokes and just having fun and, you know, making, like, Will laugh or something. And I would just be like, oh, I'm okay. Like, yeah. I'm funny. And it was just a blast. It was only like a few days, but it's cool. And it's one of the things that people still recognize me from, even though mm-hmm. I kind of look a little bit different now.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like 300 pounds different. Right? I mean, I'm not trying to say, you know, you're fat, but like, you look really healthy and you've been exercising and working hard and stuff. Like, I follow your Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. I changed my diet and just been exercising bunch. And again, the same thing with the acting class, just trying to be ready to capitalize on opportunities whenever they come up.
Can you give me diet tips? Because I'm
sure.
Because I'm 275.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty heavy.
That's very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, I was like 230.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening. If I
you don't know?
You don't know.
I don't know if I've discovered donuts.
No,
or,
I can tell you.
But I don't need.
He's discovered French fries.
French fries. You think that's the culprit?
I think it doesn't help.
Mm. Couldn't. I mean,
couldn't
help.
It couldn't help.
No.
But what's the Ron Funches diet? Like,
I mean,
an exercise plan.
It's just a lot of walking, mm-hmm. you know, kind of do my treadmill or walk around with my mm-hmm. girlfriend around our neighborhood mm-hmm. for like two miles in a day. And then if I can, also 2 miles at night. And then just a lot of chicken breasts, mm-hmm. a lot of veggies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. It's just kind of boring, and you got to continually do it,
sure.
you know. And there's still like cheat meals and stuff on a Saturday. We'll go and walk and get an ice cream and a burger or something like that. But it's like one meal once a week, and everything else is pretty much just
no carbs.
Yeah, no carbs pretty much at night.
Sure,
you know, and some carbs in the day, but just everything very clean and just getting away from snacking.
Oh,
I used
please.
To be a big grazer.
Me.
You know?
I understand that, and it's a tough one. I mean, I had Brazil nuts last night while I was watching a movie. And that was, you know, it was filling. You know, there's a lot of fat.
Yeah, absolutely. In
but you've heard of the ketosis and this fat.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any of that? Because I'm doing that now. And
yeah.
I don't know what your feelings about it. I'm just throwing it out to you. But
Well, I mean, it seems to be a pretty accurate science behind it about just getting your body in the zone where it's constantly burning fat.
Yeah.
And then people doing a lot of intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yet you don't have to eat three meals a day. That's a complete myth.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, the old Eskimo thing that they eat blubber, whale blubber, and the girls still retain their figure. But I'm not quite sure. I just know I've been told that
well, there's so
over
many
and over
things
again
like
as a
that
child.
When you travel overseas, I mean, like the French, they eat so much cheese. And
oh.
You know what else eats
you.
Cheese is Wisconsin.
Thank you. That's right, the French. And the butter. I love butter. Mm-hmm. I love butter. And Keith and I had a...
Wait, don't bring me into this.
No, but this is...
You started it.
Yeah, you started it.
I just wanted to know why you blew up 30 pounds. Yeah,
yeah but
I just wanted
then
to
he
say,
said he had Brazil nuts. I'm just thinking, when did he go to Brazil?
Oh, I'm telling you, this guy, wherever the funny is, you go right at him.
Yeah, we're trying to be real. We're trying to help you out.
It was funny because of all people, who's an extreme health freak, is Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, yeah, you got to balance out the cocaine.
Oh, my God.
You can't do both. You can't do cheeseburgers and cocaine. You got to pick one.
No,
he chose his route.
I feel bad for laughing at jokes about one of my best friends, but it's true.
Yeah, what you want?
But it's true.
Yeah.
Hashtag truth hurts.
So what have you been eating? What's been your diet?
Well, this is very weird, but I'm one of those guys who like I have the same diet every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I'm just.
Well, you got a tattoo that says "pop." That already shows me
yeah,
something.
Yeah, shows you here.
No, my tattoo is because my grandfather, he was like one of my best friends, and his name was Pop, so when he died, I got him tattooed, and Pop is
also
soda.
Pop.
Soda.
Oh, it's misleading. It makes me just feel like you love soda.
I do love soda.
Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah.
There we go. We figured it out.
It's a two-for-one
tattoo. It's a two-for-one thing, but it was very sentimental. You know what I mean? So, but I eat cheeseburgers and French fries and donuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like you know.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they're so good.
They are.
Oh,
those
please.
Are, your
are you kidding
You know,
me?
You get older, you know.
It's harder to come off, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know? So I'm chatting with my son because his diet is pretty limited. He only really likes very dry foods. He only really likes eating, like, a plain hamburger or fried chicken or...
I like plain hamburgers, too. Just meat, cheese, and bun. Yeah.
No cheese for him.
Oh,
meat,
really?
Meat, bun, bacon.
Oh, bacon.
And he likes bacon sandwiches, just bacon and bread.
So bacon's his thing.
He loves bacon.
I love bacon.
Yeah. But trying to also, but right now, you know, he's 16. He's doing okay. But I'm like, hey, we got to get some vitamins in you. We got to get some type of, trying to see if he'll do a smoothie or something because he doesn't like certain textures. He just won't mess with. And then just a lot of getting him on the treadmill and keeping him active.
They should make bacon smoothies.
He would go for that.
Yeah.
He might go for that. He might go for that. They do milkshakes with bacon.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not a full health smoothie?
I've never tried a milkshake with bacon.
You never? What about a donut?
Yeah.
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 They had those Dunkin' Donuts had the donut sandwich, remember?
Like the Luther.
Explain it. I mean,
I think the place, a lot of places have it, but it's like a burger with donut as buns.
Oh, that sounds good.
See, we're trying to help you out.
No, we're trying to go. You're supposed to go the other way.
Oh, that sounds terrible. But Ron, don't you also do wrestling? Like, haven't you?
I went to wrestling school for a few months. Yeah, at the beginning of the year, from like January through April, probably maybe middle of March. It was really fun, but it was very demanding and strenuous and hard, and I was not naturally talented at it, which was fun to do for a while. It's really fun to do something that I'm not naturally good at and just be like, okay, I'm going to let myself suck and just see the small progression. But also it is like a partnership thing. And I had a lot of gigs and stuff going on. And it's also a thing where you, no matter what, eventually you get injured. So I was like, if I'm not going to really do this, I should probably not waste other people's time who are actually trying their hardest, and I should just get out of the way and just be like, oh, I like wrestling. But it's like, to me, it's similar to those people who are like, oh, I love stand up. I want to give it a try. And
then they stop 3 months.
Yeah, exactly. And fine, that's fine to me, as long as you always, you show respect and all the way through. I just hate the people who are just like, I'm gonna be famous and like that. And I was just like, look, I'm here, I'm probably gonna suck. I'm a 36 year old man, so I'm probably not getting into the WWE anytime. So, but if I don't try it now, I will never try it. And I got to try it. I got to take some bumps in the ring. I got to hit the ropes. I got to do a couple sequences, and I was like, wow, like I can tumble and get up and hit the ropes and drop down, and I can't leapfrog, but
not gonna try that one.
No, but I could drop down and I could pass by and I could do other things, and it was I could do 370 squats and then throw up and then clean up my own throw up.
When you were trying to wrestle, did you like use your imagination thinking of like your cool stage name, like your wrestling name? Cool.
Well, I always have that. Women, there's Reckless Negro coming in, and I'm just like covered in like Marion Berry pie, you know, I just come out carrying a pie and I put it in people's faces, and depending on whether, you know, you're in the South or the North, I'm either a good guy or a bad guy.
What would one of your finish moves be? Like, what would you call it, the funches?
Yeah, it'd probably be like, I'm going to funch you up. You just got funched up.
Punch you up.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think I would be, where's the donut?
I can't breathe.
But no, I don't ever do this, but I was watching this thing on YouTube, and this guy, what was his name? Chris Morgan. Have you heard about this? Mm-hmm. He's the bagel guy.
Oh, yeah, the bagel boss guy?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm just not into it. Yeah. I don't care for it. I don't care for, like, especially if it's, like, just fake thing. I don't care about promoting misogyny and promoting that type of negativity. More power to him. If people are going to pay money for it to go see it, that's fine. But those are there's always been those type of people. There's always been those type of little, I would say, like, sideshow carnival acts. I'm not into that. I'm into actual craft. I'm into
jokes.
Creating. I'm into doing something. If you want to, you know, if you want to make a craft with that, that's fine. But just capitalizing off, you know, getting that 15 minutes that happens every, you know, every year. I don't care about that.
Would you say that, like, the older you've been doing stand-up for a long time, would you say the older you're in the, you know, you're headlining now, would you say that's harder to write material, because, or is it easier because you're going up all the time?
It's kind of just always the same, you know? Yeah. It's like this fear that you'll never come up with something good, and then you get this, a little bit of inspiration, and then you get like, oh, okay, here's like 5 minutes, and you're just constantly grinding it out. I say the things that change now that I'm like headlining and doing touring pretty extensively is that there's always this pressure of like, oh, I can't just be like, here's a bunch of thoughts and just suck for 45 minutes. Like, I have to entertain.
Right.
I have to. So for a lot of it is just learning this new craft of like doing a little bit of old and propping up the new with that, and then removing that and seeing what stands on its own. And it comes this whole new type of craftsmanship, but it becomes, I like it because it just quickens my pace. Because I mean, my first album, you know, it took me like 10 years to get that material, and then I made my special like three or four years later, and then now I have like another 45-50, and it's not like killer, but I have 50 minutes of new material that wasn't on my special, and I shot my special a year ago, and to me, to have that much material in a year is not is new for me because I'm not the type of guy that turns over material like that. I don't write topical. Everything's pretty personal. So for me to be able to do that is something I'm proud of.
One of the things I really loved about your special is I loved how, first of all, I felt that it deserved to be on Netflix because it was so great.
Thank you so much.
And I loved how it was the only special like on Comedy Central that's bringing back specials again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it was the, so I really loved that.
Thank you.
You know, and I love the title.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it really worked hard. And I, you know, I've talked about it a few times, so I'll just try to be brief about it. But of course, I wanted to be on Netflix, and they were, they said they just more saw me as a half hour comedian. They wanted me to do a half hour. And I had already done a half hour with Comedy Central before. And so it didn't really interest me creatively.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that they have a bigger reach, you know, globally. But for me, I always just kind of go for a challenge. And if it's to me doing a half hour at that time, especially when I had an hour ready to go, would have been boring to me. And so I just wanted to go with that. And I wanted to create, and especially once I knew it was going to be on Comedy Central, who offered it from the beginning, was already there to support me and pay me well. I knew it was like, oh, I have to attract eyes from this, and I have to show people that my special isn't some B special because it's not on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's that they just didn't see it, you know? And so I was like, we're going to get Ric Flair. We're going to get, we're going to have a big robe. We're going to do all the things. If I never get another special in my life, I want to be able to look at this and go, I did all the things I wanted to do. And the response has been amazing, from like The Rock tweeting about it to mostly just like my peers. Mm-hmm. That's all I cared about is, I will just name drop for this one because like, one of my first like opportunities was opening for John Mulaney. Like he took me around the country a bit at a time where he really didn't have to. He could have picked anybody, and I was just some comic in Portland at the time.
Yeah.
And he took me around the road and stuff, and I really learned a lot about what it takes to be a professional comedian from John. And after my special came out, he just texted me, and he was just like, he said, I'm jealous of your special. It's a perfect hour.
Oh.
And I was, he's like, you really showed who you are.
He's 100% correct, yeah.
And I was just like, that's, you know, I was surprised and shocked to hear, but I also, at the same time, I was like, this is exactly what I wanted to hear from the exact people who I want to hear it from. And that's what, you know, when I was upset about it not being on Netflix, that's what a lot of my people, a couple of my mentors told me. It was just like, look, the people who are meant to find it will find it, and they will know it's good.
Yeah.
So, and that, and they were right.
Well, that gives me hope because I just shot my first hour special, and you know it's being edited right now. But before I try and sell it, like I'm scared they're gonna say, "Oh my God, this isn't good." You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But your mentor, you know, said it was great. And, like maybe my mentors will. No, but my mentors aren't as big as John Mulaney. But I mean, you know. But that gives me still hope, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't let, you know, I always just think about, we don't let the business people decide what good art is. And I don't go in and tell them what good business is. You know, if they felt that I wasn't good business to give me an hour, we just disagree. And that's fine. But I'm going to go apply my craft wherever it's wanted.
Yeah.
And I like my art. And you don't tell me.
Yeah.
That my art's in half an hour when I know I'm the one touring it. I'm the one seeing my reactions. I'm the one watching the crowds. So yeah. I know.
Yeah. Has anyone ever told you that, like, because I saw you at the rec room. Well, I didn't see you. I went to the rec room to talk to you, to ask you to do the show. And and they said, oh, the show's sold out. And I was like, oh, well, I'm a comic, and I just, like, wait after. So I waited after a show, and then, like, you know, I was, like, kind of, like, tempted because, like, I don't like doing it. I was like, oh, maybe he doesn't like to talk to other comics. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so, like, I got a scary vibe just from your name. But then I watched your set. I was like, oh, this is awesome. But I was still too scared to go talk to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And your stand-up's beautiful. Like, you're such the nicest guy on stage, too. I should have just talked to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never understand that, but I've been noticing it. My girlfriend has to remind me of it, because I'll be like, some people are being weird, or and she's like, they're intimidated.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, and I was like, why? And she's all like, look, she's all like, you've done some things, people. And I was just like, but I'm just, you know, I think it's with my son and stuff. It's just like, I just like nice people. Like, yeah, if you're a nice person, like, talk to me. Like, yeah, I don't care. If you're not nice, please don't.
Yeah.
But if you are nice, it doesn't matter if you're in especially if you are in comedy, 100% come talk to me.
Yeah.
But even if not, just like, say hi. That's what I like. I like the world to be a little bit softer, a little nicer.
Do people after shows ever come after you and, like, ever say mean stuff to you?
Not very much after shows, you know. Some people are rude, or they don't like the jokes, or if you find yourself in those little middle areas after, like, you're doing a show that's connected to a bar, and then there's, like, some... That's the weird thing that happens now, is, like, some people from the show will be, like, taking pictures with me, and then some bar people will be, like... People are saying you're famous. I don't know you. Like, who are you? And it's like, whoa, like, why are you threatened? I don't know you. Like, you don't have to be threatened because other people know me. Yeah. Like, you don't know me. So obviously I'm not meant for you.
Right.
Like, you just go about your business. So, you know, that's about it. Sometimes I've had some issues with people talking about me, joking about my son and his autism or you know, but.
I have issues with that all the time because 99% of my set is I just talk about having autism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not a headliner by any means, but, you know, I'm good enough to headline a show in case the headliner gets stuck in traffic or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm the good...
You got the skills, you're not the draw.
Yeah, I'm like the Ryan Fitzpatrick guy. Like, I do well sometimes. And then, but, you know, after shows, you know, people will say just some mean stuff. Like, and I think that, you know, if you have autism and have someone in your family that has autism, you know my jokes are sincere and real.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what autism is, and a lot of people don't know what autism is.
Yeah.
They just say mean stuff, and it's just like, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Go back to the bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's it. But, you know, to the people who do know, it means, I mean, just thing I've been thinking about all the time, representation matters so much, you know? And that's what I think about with my son as he gets older is, people being aware and having a space for him and having empathy and a kindness and a patience. That is needed for the people and children like him. And so if I can just talk about it and be like, look, there needs to be a spot, there needs to be jobs, there needs to be opportunities for people, you know, neurodiversity. Like, it's just a thing that I'm happy to talk about. And I'm sure, you know, 'cause I've had people come up to me, people who have children with autism. I've had people who have had autism or have autism. They didn't just get rid of it. People who have autism at my shows, and they're like, thank you for talking about it. Thank you for not making it a pity party. Just, you know, being real about it. And I'm sure that happens with you.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It means a lot.
Yeah. It's the greatest feeling in the world. But when they say mean stuff, it just makes you, you know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah, it can, but it's like...
I guess my question is, how do you get over that?
I think I just remember that everybody has an opinion, and most of them, I've been really now just not trying to take either. Yeah. I don't need the criticism. I don't need the praise.
Oh.
I'm just working.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Because everyone loves being praised.
Yeah. But what does that do?
Alan's rubbing his belly like he's pregnant.
No, it's because...
Are you hungry? Because dinner time?
Detergent itch.
Mm.
I washed my shirts. Does that ever? You have a wife?
No, I don't have a wife.
Oh, excuse me. You said
I had a wife, but I have a wife. I have a girlfriend now.
Yeah.
She could become a wife. No, let's keep the options open.
I certainly hope so. I wish you the best. But do you ever have a tendency when you were single or to put
talk in the mic?
To put, I like
God,
it.
What is wrong
mystery.
With me?
The audience is like, what's he asking?
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. I ask a very important question.
Yeah, you were really a lead back.
Too much detergent in your clothes can give you an itch
that
if it's not rinsed out completely. And when I try to save a few shekels, a few shekels, like my mother told me, and I do it.
Audience is thinking, oh, that's what he was asking? Go back.
We were having such a moment about bonding over over autism material and not being judged. Like, detergent makes you itchy.
Well, that's just telling the, how it is. That's how I roll.
I'm dying, Alan. I'm dying. Ron's dying too.
I appreciate this. I swear. I'm glad I leaned back now.
Oh my gosh. Ron's about to offer you to open for him.
Oh. Okay. I'll clean his clothes. Oh, what a deal.
Oh, you're an assassin.
This is great.
Oh, God.
Oh, love it.
I think I just lost 5 pounds.
Nice.
Nice. Take that, John Mulaney. Oh, God. You got a good time for water.
Yeah, guys. You got to take a come down from that.
During this moment of awkwardness, you can subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes.
Oh, what? That's good timing. Like that. A commercial break and right into the promo.
Now, I can play it again. Ron, you're the host of the podcast Getting Better with Ron Funches.
Yeah, so, I hope so.
But who would you say, you've had at least 50 episodes, right?
Yeah, we're getting ready to come up on, we're coming up on 52. We'll be at the year pretty soon.
Nice.
Yeah. Who would you say is the hardest person you've ever had to interview?
Ooh, that's a good question. I just guess recently, probably Dan Harmon. He was just difficult in the fact that his mind moves so quickly in a lot of different directions that you got to kind of both let him go on these things and then also know how to direct it towards what you want to talk about. And he's also a person who's way more analytical than an emotional, you know, and my podcast is a lot about kind of like emotional growth and things like that. And so getting into that with him sometimes took a little bit of directing. But also, he really was like a really good case study of getting better and looking at yourself and, you know, past behaviors that you've had and changing those and changing his health and a lot of things. And so I really, really enjoyed the interview, but it was definitely one where I had to really be on my toes and listen very well and also pretend that I knew some of the words that he said.
All right, so we got to write him off the list. I don't think he's going to like your Tide jokes.
He might love them. For the most part, everybody's been real, real cool and open. I really love talking to Jeffrey Ross. He's probably my favorite recent one because I didn't expect him to be so heartfelt and open about different things, and it was a lot deeper than I think a lot of people give Jeffrey credit for.
He's known for the roast battle.
That's right, and the regular roast back in the day with people like Joan
Rivers and battling.
Yeah,
I was just reminding the folks at home for
roast master general.
You know, I'll tell you a very short Jeff Ross story. When I was walking in the back of the patio of the Comedy Store, Jeff Ross signaled me this way, and I went over. And then he pointed at the hot dogs. I mean, I thought it was, you know, maybe he was going to give me some sort of opportunity. And he said, "Are you hungry?" So that's my, I mean, see, he's heartfelt. I pull out anything I can.
That's a strong story.
That was awesome. Oh, man.
It's a true story.
No,
we're not
doubting
that.
I didn't make that up.
Yeah, nothing seems far-fetched about it.
Yeah, I believe that.
Jeff
man.
Ross, hot dogs. Like, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. It all adds up.
Have you ever done phone interviews, like when people interview you?
Yeah.
Do you find those hard?
Yeah, because it's just a timing difference. I like looking people in the eyes and kind of, or just being in the same presence as them, really. Unless it's like early in the morning, then phone is just fine.
Well, thank you so much for not doing a phoner, because I struggle with phones. It's because I always, and then you can't hear what they're saying, and they're half asleep.
People walk around, you lose cell coverage, drop words. It's difficult. It's so crazy, phones. Has anybody done any material about how phones is good at everything but being phones? Yeah. Can I be the first?
There you go. I like that.
And I think it also freaks me out, because whenever I do a phone interview, I never know if they're naked.
Usually am. In an interview, I promise you, I'm mostly unclothed. I'm usually playing video games on mute.
That's great. I relate to it. I was about to make it.
Oh man, you're gonna have a fun time on the road with Ron.
Listen, I dropped $90. I held back. And I just said, I've got to have my PS2 back. And people, all those old games and all that. But retro.
Yeah.
There are some PS2 games to die for.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh, and their play action is as good, if not better, than some of the new ones. Does that make any sense?
I mean, yeah.
To aficionado.
It's just, that's what I love about my son. Because a lot of kids are very much into just what's the newest. And he's really, just loves games and loves collecting.
Sure.
And we really bond over that, and it gives me an opportunity to waste money.
There you go.
What's one of your favorite games?
Oh, of all time?
Yeah, what's the game you could play no matter what and will never get boring?
Probably Super Mario 3 or Super Mario World. Any of those.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's just
Super Nintendo one, right?
Yeah, Nintendo era.
Love that one.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That would be my number one answer.
Yeah.
He plays some games too. Why don't you? But you're one. You have a couple.
I play Super Mario.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
On the Switch?
No.
On
Super Nintendo.
Oh, nice.
I still have the Super Nintendo.
Cool.
And you know what I like about it is the purple Yoshi can fly.
Yeah, he's the coolest of all the Yoshis. Yeah,
no matter what he eats.
Yeah.
But you know what's weird is I always liked Luigi better than Mario.
Oh. Why? Because his jump is longer?
No, because he's green. He has a green suit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people loving Luigi now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I saw the movie, and I thought the guy who played Luigi was way funnier.
Yeah, John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, John Leguizamo. Yeah. I've seen him 3 times live in New York at the behest of my sister. And he is something else.
He's a tour de force.
Yeah, he is a tour de force. And anyway.
He's amazing. People give him more credit. John Leguizamo, amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have a story about him, Alan? Did he ask you if
you
were
hungry?
No.
I was unable to speak to him because it was such a crowd. But as Ron may know, he played Toulouse-Lautrec, the French artist that was a dwarf. And you remember that what's the name? It's a musical, like a cabaret, a French cabaret. God, for heaven's sake, it's in my tongue. But the fact of the matter is, the historians went and got linguists to actually figure out how to lose his accent from the period and what he's doing in that movie. And I'm sorry, it doesn't count. It's anyway, you could look this up, but he's actually did the most authentic voice. Who knows what he sounded like to lose the track, the artist,
Yeah, no.
That's an amazing feat.
He's amazing.
If I ever met him, I would just totally embarrass myself. I'd be like, I loved you in Super Mario.
Yeah, I'd be like, you're the pest.
The pest. One of my favorites. You should see The Pest. It is hilarious.
You've never seen The Pest?
You've never seen The Pest?
I have seen The Pest.
Oh, you have? It's one of my favorites. One of my favorites.
A good movie.
Yeah, what was it about again?
He's very annoying, and then they want to try to
kill him,
for sport.
It's based on that. It's either Hemingway or the most dangerous game.
Yeah,
it's a takeoff inadvertently, and it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
This is going to be the most random question, but have you ever done an escape room?
Never.
Do you know what they are?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the room and you try to get out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some puzzles, I assume, mm-hmm. They're trying to stop you.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, no, I've never done it. It doesn't interest me.
Not at all?
No.
Oh, I think it would interest your son because I love him.
Mm. You like that?
Because you put strategy and stuff.
Yeah, I might be. I will go if he wants to.
Or just have your girlfriend take him and you could.
Yeah, that's fun. That's what we do with a lot of movies.
That was the most random. I don't know. I got a feeling that
no,
you like
escape.
No,
that's what you thought I would. You thought I would. I shut it down.
Yes, you know what? I thought you would too. And I would.
Like well, maybe just... you guys know something about me. I don't. Maybe I need to be in the escape room.
The only reason why I brought it up because I heard you were going to be in the next movie. So.
Well, what are you guys doing after this?
We're
going to an escape room.
Let's go, man. But what was I going to say? Oh, man. It had something to do with the escape room. Because Ron said a funny tag, and I was going to play off that tag. And you said something funnier. I was like, oh, screw it.
Mm. Yeah, it messes up that timing.
Yeah. And you just hate that, like, when that happens.
Yeah, I do. But then I just got to let it go. And something. I'm trying to just be more less competitive and more like, ooh, nice. Oh, that was good. I don't need to. Man, yeah, somebody got the laugh. That's all that matters. It happened.
Boy, I tell you. Oh, you want to hear a funny story that has nothing to do with you?
Yeah. Well. Let me lean back for a bit.
Okay. Do you know who Bobby Slayton is?
Yes.
All right.
Pitbull comedy.
Yeah. I used to open up for Bobby, and I call Bobby my grandfather of comedy. And I love him very much. And I remember one time we were at the Bray Improv, and the waiter at the club, he was like a open mic comic, and the manager said, well, Bobby says you could, do 5 minutes. I'll let you do 5 minutes. So I guess he didn't ask Bobby. He just told the manager. He said yes.
Always a good move.
Always a good move. He bombed really hard. And then so he goes to Bobby during, at the green room. He's like, so, Mr. Slayton, how did I do? And Bobby's just like, oh, I think you're a great waiter. I don't know why that story popped in my head.
I remember that story.
Yeah, but it was just, I guess I was just trying to say you'd like escape rooms.
No, I like that. And I like brutal honesty.
Oh, yeah.
I like both those things.
Yeah, unfiltered. What's the most brutal, honest thing you've ever said to someone?
I don't know. I don't want to be married anymore.
That's brutal.
I don't want to be married anymore. You have to write that as a joke. That's hilarious.
That's a good one. That's a keeper.
Oh, thanks, Alan. Thank
you. I always like to lend my commentary to this podcast anytime I can.
Your opener's telling you what jokes to keep.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man.
I need notes.
I think the most honest thing I've ever said was like, this girl came up to me after a show. She's like, hey, are you really autistic? I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, you could hardly tell. And I was like, oh, are you really a girl? She's like, yeah. I was like, you could hardly tell.
That's fun. That's a tit for tat.
Yeah.
I like that.
But,
was she pretty?
No, she was ugly.
Oh, because you wouldn't have said that if she was pretty. You would.
Yeah, I would have been like, I would have said something else. Like,
yeah.
Like, my place is right around the corner.
Nice. Does that work?
No. It should, though.
Yeah. You'd be like, well, it's going to be quick for you to get home.
It's retro.
I'll buy the Uber. What's obviously, you've been an Uber. What's your craziest Uber experience?
Just in LA, a lot of people, you just can't really ever tell people what you're doing or where you're going. And sometimes they get dropped off at little studios or something, and people get way too invested. And not crazy, but weirdest one to me was the guy just was talking to me so much about how he wanted, because I was going to go do some voiceovers, and he was just talking about how he wanted to get into voiceovers, and just kept talking about it, and then he gave me his card, and his card was just him shirtless, and it wasn't like just a, like, and it didn't say like model or anything, it was just him shirtless actor, and I was like,
oh
This is a weird card to just give them out to strangers on your Uber. Damn, and that just weirded me out. But that's it. Just, I mean, all Uber's not great recently. The standards are really falling.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I wasn't the person who drove it, right?
No.
No. I was going to say.
No, I remember. I would have kept that. I kept that card.
But have you ever like been in an Uber and just like, you know, just for kicks, just like totally lie about, you know, everything?
Yeah.
Isn't that the funnest?
It's so fun.
That's a great exercise.
Yeah, a lot of times I'm a sound engineer or editor or a grip.
Oh, that's good.
And I just try and make up what those things are entail if they ask more questions.
That's funny.
I was in an Uber and this Uber was like, what do you do? I was like, oh, I was on a TV show, Two and a Half Men.
Oh, that's fine. You're a kid and Two and a Half Men. You're like, whoa, things have been rough for you.
All that meth.
And then, like, he just keeps asking me Charlie Sheen questions, and I'm just thinking, who's Charlie Sheen?
You're like, I was in only in the Ashton Kutcher era. I was just doing the prime.
I was only in one scene, and they play that scene over and over every episode. Yeah, Dad, I'm in the military. So, Ron, where can the folks at home follow you?
You know, ronfunches.com has all my dates and information. You can Twitter at Ron Funches, Instagram at Ron Funch. I'm in the middle of a tour right now, so please come see me. Oh, and my podcast, Getting Better at Ron Funches. We just talk about getting better at craft and our life and try to be real positive. I try to do a lot of affirmations. So if you feel like you need a little bit of a boost, a little upbeat boost, I would say check out my podcast.
Sounds good.
Subscribe, rate, and review.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ron, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you,
Ron. It was a pleasure.
This was a pleasure, sir.
Oh, it was an absolute blast. I appreciate you guys having me.
So did Alan get the job?
Listen.
Like, he was on fire today.
He was. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful word. Yeah.
One question. In the this game, this escape, are the puzzles on a timer? Because I hate that.
Are you asking Ron or me? Because he doesn't like
it. I'm putting it out. He said he doesn't like it. But it's a
reason.
That's
a cool question. I want to know.
Because you're doing the puzzle.
I
want
to know if there's time. Yeah, is there a lot of pressure?
Yeah, there is. But, I mean, there's also, like, safety where, like, you know, if it, you know, run out of time, you obviously don't die.
Okay. Oh. But it feels like you do?
No, yeah, I mean. Just
is there one that maybe fills up with sand?
Yeah, no. they like, if it runs out of time and you don't solve it, they just make a noise or whatever, and then magically the door unlocks.
Oh.
But, you know.
Like a cheat code.
Yeah.
Is there one like Legends of the Hidden Temple?
I'm sure there is.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I would like that. Yeah. If there was like people who I was running from and also ball pits.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
The one I went to was one based off Saw.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
no, thank you.
Oh, I love the Saw.
Really?
Yeah.
What about if they did one like off a human centipede?
Oh, I never saw that.
You just got to escape being from some butt to mouth.
That would freak me out.
That's funny.
You want? Okay, I'll leave the show. But you want to hear a funny? Since you brought up a funny centipede joke,
sure.
At least I hope it's funny. Nah, it might be just funny to me because you know I wrote it. But there's this book called The James and the Giant Peach. Have you heard of it?
Yeah,
big seller. And in it, like he takes a bite of a peach, and all of a sudden he comes in a cartoon, you know, he shrinks and he starts talking to bugs, a spider, a ladybug, and a centipede. And the centipede's name is Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh. Oh my. Richard.
That's a good out.
All right, guys, follow Ron, and if you guys like the show, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Razor Riffs. Alan, you got anything you want to say?
I'll be opening at the coffee shop downtown, the Tribal Cafe. And when I say opening, is that I have to sign in first with the rest of the comics.
So that's where you're opening.
That's right.
Well, I'll be doing the opening shift.
That's right.
Ron, thank you so much.
Thank
I really
you,
enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
This was a blast. My God.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.